What Moses is doing is saying, I want to jog your cerebral cortex. I want you to reach back into the wilderness years going through the desert, the hardships, the trials, the faithfulness. I want you to bring them up again and think about them. Remember, he says, remember that the Lord your God led you. There's a few things he tells them to remember. Remember that God led you through hard times. Remember that God tested you sometimes. And remember that God was faithful to you at all times.
Corrie ten Boom said, memories are the key not to the past, but to the future. Have you wished you could forget the past? Do you only dwell on the past? Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig explains that the past can be helpful, but only if we learn from it today and use those lessons tomorrow. Before we get into that, we want to tell you about a resource that will help you make a personal revolution in your life this year.
Friends and family who are far from God. It's a grief all Christians face. But remember, they are where we once were.
There is not a person alive or who has ever been alive who has not grappled with the question of God. Does God exist? How can I know it? Everybody at some point deals with it, from children to adults to astute philosophers. And even if they don't believe in God, they want to make films or write books and weigh in on why they don't.
What You Want Them to Know is a special package designed for you to give to loved ones, friends, neighbors, and coworkers. In this audio package, Skip Heitzig touches on the hot spots of the reality of heaven, the need for salvation, the power of prayer, and more. 10 full-length messages on CD. For a suggested donation of $30 or more, you'll receive this compilation of Skip's teachings, also including Skip's booklet, New Year's Revolution. Order now by calling 800-922-1888. Or by visiting connectiononline.org/offers.
We invite you to mark your Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And as you do, we join Skip as he begins today's teaching.
Well, maybe you heard about the soldier who was overseas. And while he was stationed overseas at his camp, in his barracks, he got a letter from his girlfriend in the United States breaking up with him. It was a Dear John letter. Broke his heart. But to add insult to injury, in the letter she said, oh, and by the way, would you please send me back the picture of myself? It's my favorite picture. I want to use it for the engagement announcement in the newspaper. Now he was just devastated beyond anything he could imagine. So his buddies, soldiers, came to his rescue. They collected all of the photographs of all of the girlfriends, of all of the men on the base, put them in a shoebox with a supposed note from him saying to her, your picture's in the box, find it for yourself and send the rest back to me. For the life of me, I can't remember which one you were. Bam! Memory's a funny thing, because even when you're honest about your memory, you have to admit you're losing it as time goes on. As time goes on, we don't have the ability to recall certain things. So there were two old gals at church who were talking. And as they were having a conversation, one said, worst thing about getting old is losing your memory. And she said, as she was saying this to this gal, she says, I know that I know you, and I feel like I've known you all my life, but I just can't remember your name. What's your name? And the other gal said, do you need an answer right now? But you know, memory is also a very helpful thing. It can provide for us an inspiration into the future when it works right. Now, our memory, and today we have sort of had a nostalgic morning looking back with songs and people who were a part of it and the look on the stage. Yes, I had some of these plants. I can't believe that I did. We just had to dust them off every few weeks. But one of the things that marketers have figured out is that nostalgia works. Nostalgia is something that is good in marketing. In fact, they're selling the past a lot of these vendors and marketers. So, for example, Hollywood understands that there's power in the past. That's why they take an old movie and redo it, or they take a comic book series from our youth and they make it into a movie, and they know it sells. Nostalgia sells. The clothing industry has discovered, put up a vintage clothing store. They're popping up all over the states. It will attract people. They're into vintage clothing. The design industry knows that if you package it as mid-century modern, that is a powerful lure to people who are outfitting their house. Also, the auto industry knows the power of the past. Think of the resurgence of those 70s muscle cars. You know, and you get some like a new Mustang or something. It's like, you know, it's redone, but it tipped its hat to the past. So it's like, man, that was cool in the 70s in high school if you're that old. The audio industry understands the power of the past. Vinyl records are back. Go into Hastings and you'll discover a whole section on brand new vinyl records. And I have to admit, I'm into them. I love them. Isn't it funny how we went from vinyl records to 8-track, to cassette tapes, to CDs, to MP3s. Now we're back to vinyl records. It sort of keeps cycling back. All of these industries and all of these vendors have a formula. They're selling memories. They're selling memories. Now, why would the past have such an allure? Because somehow the past helps us frame the present. If we can get people back to their roots, they will feel linked to past events or linked to people in their past, and it will pull them out of their loneliness in the present. Today, the name of the message is that famous hashtag, TBT, which means Throwback Thursday. Now, that's what it originally meant. Anymore, it just means reminisce. Let's just go back. Here's a picture of me way back when, TBT. It can be used in a number of ways just to throw back to an earlier time. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is Moses' version of TBT. In this section, let me just sort of sum it up for you so we can get to the verses. The book of Deuteronomy is essentially three sermons given by a man who's 120 years old, who's about to die, given during 1 month in midwinter to the children of Israel. Moses teaches the children of Israel, a new generation, what they need to know before they go into the land they're about to possess. And in chapter 8, the first 10 verses, he gives them four commands. I want you to see them. In verse 2, he says, you shall remember. And you shall remember. That's the past. Look at verse 5. The second command, he says, you should know. That's present tense. Verse 6, you shall keep. And that is the future tense. And then finally, verse 10, and you shall bless the Lord. Those four commands. He gets them to look backwards, gets them to look at the present, gets them to look at the future, and finally it's an upward look to bless the Lord. So with those four commands in mind, now we're going to cull through the text together. We're going to read it. And I want to give to you four principles, four ways to look backwards correctly, properly. And here's the first. Let the past instruct you. Let the past instruct you. Verse 1, Moses speaking, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Again, notice the command, you shall remember. Moses understands that memory can be a very powerful tool. So learn from the past. Let the past instruct you. Now, psychologists tell us that you never really forget anything. That every experience you have, every person you meet, everything you read is somewhere stored in your head. The problem, of course, is where is it? Exactly. It's recall. Isn't that always the problem? So the way memories are formed, there's a portion of your brain called the hippocampus, and that's where memories are formed, and then they are later stored in the cerebral cortex toward the edges of your brain and different lobes. Those are the filing cabinets. One thing we know, however, is the recall will diminish with time. The accuracy of the memory or the ability to reach back and recall it and bring it up to the present becomes more difficult. Some people have great memories of early experiences, some not so much. For example, my brother swore that he could remember being a baby in the crib. And I used to say, oh, come on, this is ridiculous. And my parents actually corroborated some of his stories of the crib. He goes, no, that actually happened. So here, I can't even remember the house we were in. He's remembering events of the crib in the bedroom in the house we were in. So some have great, great early memories, some not so much. What Moses is doing is saying, I want to jog your cerebral cortex. I want you to reach back into the wilderness years going through the desert, the hardships, the trials, the faithfulness. I want you to bring them up again. And think about them. Remember, he says, remember that the Lord your God led you. There's a few things he tells them to remember. Remember that God led you through hard times. Remember that God tested you sometimes. And remember that God was faithful to you at all times. That sums up these four verses that we read. So again, notice. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Now stop right there for a moment. If you read your Bible, you come to an understanding that the children of Israel wandered around in the desert for 40 years because of their unbelief. They didn't believe God. It was only 11 days to go from Kadesh Barnea to the Promised Land. It was an 11-day journey. It took them 40 years. They managed to turn an 11-day march into a 40-year meander. And it seemed haphazard. It seemed senseless. They're going around in circles. But here, Moses says, I want you to know something. The Lord your God led you these 40 years. Yep, you blew it. You made the mistake. You wandered. But while you wandered, God was leading you. Now, do you remember how he led them? Well, he led them through this incredible GPS system called a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the instructions were simple. When that thing moves, you move. When it stops, you stop. Happened for 40 years. Why is that important to us? Here's why it's important. Because you and I go through experiences that just seem random, senseless, and haphazard. And what you need to know is your God is leading you all the way. I know we don't like where he leads us sometimes. You know, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I know a lot of us wish it said, yea, though I'm airlifted from mountain peak to mountain peak to mountain peak to mountain peak. But that's not real life. Some might confess that it is real life, but it ain't real life. We go through the valley, but David said, you were with me. Your rod and your staff, they comforted me. You directed me during all those times. So he led you through hard times. He also wants them to remember that God tested them sometimes. Notice the language. It says, he did it to humble you and to test you. Mark that. They got tested. Why? He explains, to know what is in your heart. Now, that doesn't mean God needed to know what was in their heart. He already knew. God wanted them to know what was in their heart. They didn't know. They thought they were cool and spiritual and mature. And you know, if you really want to find out who you are, go through a trial. That's who you are. Your reaction to the heat of trial and hardship is who you are. And the test reveals that. So James says, the testing of your faith produces patience, perseverance. Peter said, the genuineness of your faith, even though tested by fire. Why do we need to get tested? Why does our faith need to be tested? Because a faith that isn't tested is a faith that can't be trusted. You need to face the hardship to find out who you really are so your roots can go deeper. You know, in ancient times, a jeweler, if he wanted to find out what kind of metal he's dealing with, it was an easy test. He just throws it in the fire. The fire heated up a little bit, and you'll find out if it's gold or silver or some kind of an alloy. All the imperfections will rise to the top. He can scrape them off, but it proves the genuineness of it. The test will do that. So God turns up the heat in your life, but not to burn you, but to bless you. And the blessing is so often disguised, isn't it? It's a trial. It's hard. But he's doing it to humble you, to test you, to show you what's in your heart so that you'll come out the other end strong. So he led you through hard times. He tested you sometimes, but he provided for you at all times. And what's interesting here is what he reminds them of in particular. The manna that fell from heaven. Remember the manna, the bread they picked up every day? Okay, can I say for the record that manna is one of God's best inventions ever? I mean, come on, how cool is manna? I'm hungry, go outside. Pick it up off the ground, eat it. So God provided this manna, and I say it's a cool invention. And by the way, God made lots of cool inventions, like oceans, that's a good invention, right? Forests are a great invention. Don't we love to go to the forest? A dog is a great invention, in my opinion, one of God's great inventions. Cats, well, I don't know, but sorry, pig. A dog is one of God's coolest inventions. But manna, bread falling from heaven, and you know what the Bible says manna tasted like? Exodus 16. It tasted like wafers with honey. Wafers made with honey. So just think, at the end of your meal, when you go to a restaurant here in this state, and you get that wafer-like bread with honey on it, that's called Come on, sopapillas every day for 40 years? And it was good for you? Come on, is that not like a great invention? I'll sign up for that. He did that for 40 years. He's reminding them of the provision. To add to that, he said, your garments did not wear out. Imagine having a wardrobe that looks as new as the day you put it on the first time. Your shoes didn't wear out. Your clothes look good. Now, that's wonderful, but for some people who are like fashionistas, that's a nightmare. I can imagine the conversations. Honey, I need a new dress. Nope, looks as good as it did 40 years ago. You're good to go. Thank you, Lord. You just saved me a bundle. Let the past instruct you. Second principle, let the present inspire you. Look what he does in verse 5. He pivots from the past to the present. This is all present tense. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Learn from the past, but don't live in the past. It's never wise to do that. It makes life messy when you try to live in the past. A wise person will not completely abandon the past, nor will he enshrine the past. He will simply build on the past. And so he pivots here to go from the past tense to the present. If you want to live a miserable life, try to live your whole life looking backwards. I remember what it used to be like. It used to do that, and we used to do that. And, you know, it's hard to make progress looking backwards. Imagine a runner trying to go down the track with his neck craned backwards at where he came from. And that really is the thought of Paul in Philippians chapter 3 when he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Two important words in that. Reaching forward. That's an athletic term. If you're a runner, it means when you're in a race, it's that last burst of energy as you reach toward the tape, toward the finish line to win the prize. That's Paul said, that's how I live my life. And he also said, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, the word here, forget, doesn't mean fail to remember. Just means don't let the past have an unhealthy influence on your present. It's like when God says, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. It's not like God has a bad memory. But God is saying, though I know every bad thing about you, I'm not going to let that influence the way I treat you, because I'll treat you based on grace. That's what it means. So I'm going to forget those things that are behind. I'm going to reach forward to those things which are ahead. Harriet Hall wrote this: some things should be forgotten, such as failures and mistakes of yesterday. We've all had them. So learn from them and forget them. It's never wise to nurse a grudge. If someone treated you unkindly or unfairly, forget it. This only drains our energy and creativity. Learn to extract what wisdom you can from the experience and then bury it. I've discovered that burying lots of things is good. It's healthy. It's helpful. So when you look back, you should only look back as a warning, like, I don't want to do that again. Or as a blessing, oh, I remember when God did that. But I don't want to stay there. Your past should be a guidepost, not a hitching post. It should be a sail, never an anchor. It should be a springboard, but not a sofa. And by the way, beware of those people who talk about the good old days. Oh, man, I remember the good old... You know what the good old days is? It's a combination of a bad memory and a good imagination. Because you know what? You're going to look back at today as good old days. I remember the good old days in 2016. So let the present inspire you. Move past the past. Grow. Grow up. Mature. Be stretched. Because your only other alternative is spiritual atrophy. Nobody wants that. Let the past instruct you. Let the present inspire you. Let me give you a third. Let the future invite you. Verse 6, now he pivots from the past through the present now to the future. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him, or respect him, honor him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, I'm going yum, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills you can dig copper. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord. That's the future. Let the future invite you. God has been beneficial. God has been a blessing. So now respond to him. Remember the past. Be learning in the present, but always with an eye to the future. So a man went to his doctor. He was losing his memory. Doctor, can you help? He said. The doctor said, there is an operation I can perform, but I have to warn you. I can't fix your memory without impairing your eyesight, so you need to make a decision. Do you want to see, or do you want to remember? Well, the patient thought about that for a while, and he said, I think I'd rather see where I'm going than remember where I've been. But you know what Moses is saying? You can do both. In fact, you need both. You need to remember where you've been so that you can see where you are going. And where you are going is keeping the commandments of the Lord.
Maybe you've made some mistakes in your past. That's okay. Learn from it. But don't stay in that same place. Our past can propel us into the future when we learn from it. Now, we want to tell you about an opportunity to partner with A Connection as we begin a new year of ministry.
The Connection with Skip Heitzig airs worldwide from the U.S. and Canada to Belize and New Zealand to equip believers and reach out to those lost in sin. You can help us get these verse-by-verse Bible teachings to more places so more people can grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Make a one-time donation right now Pick up the phone and call 800-922-1888 or visit us online at connectiononline.org/give.
We've learned from Moses' hashtag TBT that the past instructs us and the present inspires us. Tune in tomorrow as Pastor Skip explains what the future invites us to do.
Loving God is not an emotional goosebump. It's a choice to obey. It's what Eugene Peterson called a long obedience in the same direction. I love the title of that book. A long obedience in the same direction. Just keep on serving Him. Keep on obeying. Keep on doing what you know He wants you to do.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.